We would like to welcome you to Back to the 40s, how Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s, more than 50 years ago. After the publication of the Big Book, the recovery rate from alcoholism within the Fellowship of AA was 75%. AA's program, as practiced then, was quite different from the program that is practiced today. That is, the AA program is unchanged, but the way it is practiced has changed. To produce such an astounding recovery rate, what was done in the early days of AA? Well, this is what we are going to do. We are going to take an in-depth look at how Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s. We've asked
Larry
to read the AA preamble as it appeared in the first edition of the Big Book in 1939. We are not an organization in the conventional sense of the word. There are no fees or dues whatsoever. The only requirement... Oh, is that what you're supposed to read? The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. We are not allied with any particular faith, sect, or denomination, nor do we oppose anyone. We simply wish to be helpful to those who are afflicted.
Thank you, Larry.
I'm sorry. Okay. All righty.
Good job, Larry.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. And now I'm going to read to you something called the Eskimo story. A fellow is sitting talking to his sponsor about the second step. He tells his sponsor, "I just don't believe there is a God. I gave him a chance to prove himself to me. I just don't believe there is a God." His sponsor replies, "You gave him a chance? Just what kind of chance did you give him?" The newcomer replies, "I was lost up in the snowfields of Alaska. I knew there was no way out, so I just looked up and said, 'God, I don't believe you are really up there, but if you are, here's your chance. Save me.'" The sponsor, looking rather incredulous, says, "Well then, how can you say there is no God? You are here." The newcomer replies, "Oh, come on, God didn't save me. Some Eskimo came along." And by the way, here's some more food for thought. The Big Book doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread.
Commentator. I'm the chairperson. I'm the commentator.
Are you reading this?
Oh, no. So, commentator.
Okay. My name is Larry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Larry.
We're going to take our second trip back to AA's history, back to the 40s when the recovery rate was 75%, to relive the days when people took the steps in 5 one-hour classes. This is the second class based on the pamphlet from September 1944. Here's a pamphlet. The primary objective was to present the 12 steps right out of the book titled Alcoholics Anonymous. There's the Big Book. It's saying show these things, so that's why. So that each new person would be sponsored to and find the spiritual solution to the illness of alcoholism. In review, this is what we discovered from page 45.
Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power with which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but how and where were we to find this power?
We also established where the power is from page 55.
We found the great reality deep within us. In the last analysis, it was only there that he may be found.
So the question that needs to be answered is, how do we find this power? Step 2 tells us how. Let's listen as Melissa reads step number 2 from the 1944 pamphlet.
Step number 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Our drinking experience has shown 2 conclusions.
Number 1,
That we strayed from the normal social side of life. Our minds became confused and we strayed away from the normal mental side of life.
Number 2,
an abnormal mental condition is certainly not sanity in the accepted sense of the word. We have acquired or developed a mental disease. Our study of AA shows that
point A,
In the mental or tangible side of life, we have lost touch with or ignored or have forgotten the spiritual values that gave us the dignity of man as differentiated from the animal. We have fallen back upon the material things of life, and these have failed us. We have been groping in the dark.
Point B.
No human agency, no science or art has been able to solve the alcoholic problem, so we turn to the spiritual for guidance. Therefore, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and we must believe with a great faith. Let's open our books to page 25, the last paragraph, and here the book gives us two alternatives.
Page 25, last paragraph, chapter 2, there is a solution.
If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe that there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives.
One
was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could.
Two,
to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort.
At this point in the recovery process, all we need is a desire and some willingness. That is a willingness to reconsider our position about our lives. Let's turn to page 44. Look for line 13.
Page 44, line 13, chapter 4, We Agnostics.
To be doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, but it isn't so difficult. About half of our original fellowship were exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope that we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you.
We have a choice. Find a spiritual basis of life, or else. We don't always find the choice acceptable, or it's hard to see, or we don't always want to follow the spiritual path. There is no middle ground of the road solution. Now let's take a look at the spiritual solution. Go to page 46, line 15.
Page 46, line 15, halfway down the page.
We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided that we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies too to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book.
We don't have to know everything about this power. We just have to believe, even be willing to believe in this power. There must be something instead of ourselves that can or will put us in a position to live life and enjoy it. Consider this. When it comes to using power to help us in our everyday living, most of us don't or can't fully comprehend the power of common household electrical lighting. But we don't sit around in the dark until we figure it out, do we? Go to page 48, line 47.
Page 48, line 7.
Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness.
Once we realized that we had to look forward, that all we had to look forward to was alcoholic destruction or the spiritual path, the path becomes a lot easier to take. Let's look at the reasons for taking this spiritual path. Turn to page 50, last paragraph.
Page 50, last paragraph.
Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements.
If we are not convinced yet, let's look at where we were. An honest appraisal of our alcoholic lives. Go to page 52, line 15.
Page 52, line 15.
We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people.
This reads like the definition of a dry drunk. Let's continue, beginning with the next paragraph, same page.
When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas didn't work, but the God idea did.
Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Let's continue reading page 53, second paragraph.
Page 53, second paragraph.
When we became alcoholics, crushed by self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. That was our choice to be. What was our choice to be?
Step two, this is our choice. Now, notice the timeline for step two. We could not postpone or evade. Notice the requirement for step two. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. Keep in mind, though, your own conception of God. Go back to page 47, second paragraph.
Page 47, second paragraph.
We need to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, there is a power greater than myself?
And here we have the second step promise.
As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is even willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that this simple cornerstone is a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Here is step two. One short question to consider and then answer. Let's take step two together, as precisely shown to us right out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is step two. Yes or no? Do you believe, or are you even willing to believe, in a power greater than yourself? As a group, let's take step two. We can do this by repeating the following statement. Yes, I do believe in a power greater than myself.
Yes,
I do believe in a power greater than myself.
Let's take step two together. Have the group repeat the sentence together. That's it. That is step two. But for now, remember the second step promise.
As soon as a man can say he does believe or is even willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Let's move on to step three. But before we study from the big book, let's listen to the pamphlet.
Step number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. In the first step, we learned that we had lost the power of choice and had to make a decision.
Let's consider these 4 points. Point number one.
What decision could we make better than to...
A, turn our very will over to God, realizing that our own use of our own will had resulted in trouble. B, as in the Lord's Prayer, you must believe and practice, thy will be done. Point two.
God as we understand him.
Point three.
Religion is a word we do not use in AA. We refer to a member's relation to God as spiritual. Religion is a form of worship, not the worship itself.
Point number four.
If a man cannot believe in God, he can certainly believe in something greater than himself. If he cannot believe in a power greater than himself, he is a rather hopeless egotist. Go to page 60, line 13, for step 3.
Page 60, line 13, chapter 5, how it works. Just follow along, moving down the page.
Our description of the alcoholic,
which is the chapters, the doctor's opinion, and Bill's story.
The chapter to the agnostic,
which is about step 2.
And our
own
personal adventures before and after.
We came to AA.
Make clear 3 pertinent ideas.
Step 1, A.
That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives.
The spiritual principle of self-honesty, step 2, B.
That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism.
And step 2, C.
That God couldn't
would if he were stopped.
The spiritual principle of hope.
Being convinced.
Of what? The 3 pertinent ideas. A, B, and C. The timeline says...
We were at step 3.
And the explanation of step 3 reads...
That we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do they mean by that? And just what do we do?
Here we have a requirement.
The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good.
If we continue to read, we look at this person who lives by self-propulsion, the actor who wants to run the whole show. And reading further, this person is described at length. The self-centered person. For an in-depth look at the problem and an honest appraisal of what our position must be. If we want to continue on the spiritual path to recovery, go to page 62, first paragraph, and here the book tells us that alcoholism comes in people, not in bottles.
Page 62, first paragraph.
Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by hundreds of forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation. But invariably we find that sometime in the past we have made decisions based on self-will, which later placed us in a position to be hurt.
So, we were professional victims. Let's continue. Next paragraph. And here the book tells us our problems occurred from the inside out.
So, our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we cannot live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help.
Continuing with the last paragraph on this same page, the book tells us of some more requirements for step 3.
This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He was the principal. We are his agent. He is the father, and we are his children.
And next, we have one of the many promises that are in this book.
Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom.
Let's continue reading page 63, line 1, and again, more promises.
Page 63, line 1.
When we sincerely took a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all-powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind and discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We are reborn.
And at the beginning of the next paragraph, we have a timeline to step 3 that reads,
we are now at step 3.
Before we take step 3, let's explore the precise instructions. Step 3 is a major turning point on this road to recovery. So let's carefully examine step 3. Same page, line 20, the time line is,
we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready.
The requirement says
that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
The directions read,
we found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person, such as a wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor.
Here we have a warning.
But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might not understand.
Let's continue with the directions.
The wording was, of course, quite optional so long as we expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation.
This is the third step promise.
This was only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once.
Let's take step 3 together, voicing it without reservation. We can take this step by repeating the prayer found on page 63, second paragraph. If you would, let's say the prayer together. The timeline reads,
page 63, second paragraph.
We are now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him,
all together now. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, and to do with me as thy wilt.
Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may be a witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always.
That's it. That is step 3. But this is only a beginning, a turning point. All we have done so far is made 3 decisions between me, myself, and I. The fact is that these 3 decisions were based upon reflection, suspicion, and surrender. These 3 conclusions took place in our minds. So all we have done in these first 3 steps is ruined our drinking and set ourselves up for 2 realities. Number 1, take the rest of the steps. Number 2, live an alcoholic death. Let's summarize steps 1, 2, and 3.
In step 1,
we decided to get honest with ourselves and make admission to ourselves based upon the ideas that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives.
In step two.
We decided to believe there is some hope for ourselves based upon the ideas that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism and that God could and would if he were sought.
And in step 3, being convinced of these pertinent ideas,
we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, over to God as we understood him. We do this based upon the idea of faith in the AA program. Try doing these 3 steps on getting a driver's license and see what happens.
Step one.
Admit you need a license.
Step two.
Believe you can get one.
Step three.
Decide to get one. The result of these three steps, you'll still be taking the bus. The first three steps are 25% of nothing. The point is to take immediate action through the rest of the steps to conquer alcoholism. Let's listen to Melissa as she reads step four out of the 1944 pamphlet.
Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The intent and purpose of this step is plain. All alcoholics have a definite need for a good self-analysis, a sort of self-appraisal. Other people have certainly analyzed us, appraised us, criticized us, and even judged us. It might be a good idea to judge ourselves calmly and honestly. We need inventory because...
Let's consider these two reasons. Reason number one...
Either our faults, weaknesses, defects of characters are the cause of our drinking, or...
Reason two.
Our drinking has weakened our character and let us drift into kinds of wrong action, wrong attitudes, wrong viewpoints. In either event, we obviously need an inventory, and the only kind of inventory to make is a good one. Moreover, the job is up to us. We created, or we let develop, all the antisocial actions that got us in wrong. So we have got to work it out. We must be able to make a list of our faults, and then we must do something about it. The inventory must be four things.
Four requirements. Requirement number one.
It must be honest. Why waste time fooling ourselves with our phony list? We have fooled ourselves for years. We tried to fool others, and now is a good time to look at ourselves squarely in the eye.
Requirement number two.
It must be searching. Why skip over a vital matter lightly and quickly? Our trouble is a grave mental disease confused by screwy thinking. Therefore, we must search diligently and fearlessly to get at the truth of what is wrong with us. Just dig in and search.
Requirement number three.
It must be fearless. We must not be afraid we might find things in our heart, mind, and soul that we will hate to discover. If we do find such things, they may be the root of our trouble.
Requirement number four.
It must be a moral inventory. Some, in error, think the inventory is a lot of unpaid debts, plus a list of unmade apologies. Our trouble goes much deeper. We will find the root of our trouble lies in resentment, fears, inconsideration, dishonesty, selfishness, and many other things. Laziness is an important one. In other words, we are making inventory of our character, our attitude towards others, our way of living. We are not preparing a financial statement. We will pay our bills all right, but because we cannot even begin to practice AA without honesty. Let's begin reading with the last paragraph on page 63. This is step four.
Page 63, last paragraph, we have another timeline and requirement. These are for step four.
Next, we launched out on a vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted, though our decision,
step three,
was a vital and crucial step. It could have little permanent effect.
And here we have a major timeline and an explanation to step four.
Unless at once, followed by strenuous effort to face and to be rid of things in ourselves which had been blocking us, our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to go get down to causes and conditions. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four.
With the spiritual principles of courage, here begins the directions for step four. Let's continue line 18, same page.
First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations.
The common manifestations of self, or demonstrations of self, or evidence of self, or proof of self are...
Resentment.
Which is wrong judgment.
Fear.
Which is wrong believing.
Harms done, our own conduct over the past, years past.
Which is wrong action. Let's continue. Last paragraph, same page.
Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick.
This is the four-step promise.
When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically.
This is how we recover from alcoholism. We find a God of our own understanding first. We do this through, with, and in the steps. We solve alcoholism problem first at its highest point, and then we work out all the other problems physically, socially, sexually, financially, etc. Here are the directions to resentments.
In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry.
Let's continue on page 65, line 3. Here are more directions to the resentments inventory.
Page 65, line 3.
On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it out of self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with?
Go to the last paragraph on this same page, and here we have a requirement.
We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty.
Let's continue. Go to page 67, line 14.
Page 67, line 14.
Referring to our list again, pulling out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely look at our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white.
Some more requirements.
We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Next paragraph, same page, we have another inventory.
Notice the word fear.
Skip a line.
This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble.
Here are the directions for the fear inventory. Next paragraph.
We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them.
Next, we have the directions for another inventory, our own conduct. There are many kinds of conduct: sex, financial, social, physical, mental, emotional. The list goes on and on. The book tells us what to do. Let's read page 69, line 12.
Page 69, line 12.
We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got all this down on paper and looked at it.
There's a lot of fear and pain associated with four-step inventory. Fear and pain did not get you drunk. You had to drink alcohol to get drunk. No alcohol, no drunk, no action, no drunk. No action on taking the steps, no recovery. No sobriety, that's how it is. That is what it takes. Action, not feelings. Back in the 40s, people blasted through the steps. So the newcomer was just moving out of the problem and just getting a glimpse of the solution in step 4. The newcomer was still living in all the pain of being alcoholic. The point is that there will be leftovers that we forget to list in step 4. Don't beat yourself up. Wallowing in the past, don't beat yourself up wallowing in the past. You can deal with the leftovers later on in step 10 while looking at them from the solution's point of view. Do the best you can, but move forward into the solution. Don't stop until you are finished with the 4th step. Go back to page 68, line 11.
Page 68, line 11.
But we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity.
If we have taken steps 1, 2, and 3, we are on a different basis. Steps 1, 2, and 3 are in the past. They are finished. They are done. We use their spiritual principles, self, honesty, hope, and faith, to muster through enough courage to complete step 4. Self-honesty plus hope plus faith equals courage, which just happens to be the 4th step's spiritual principle. Principles that we practice in all of our affairs. We are looking at step 4 from a different perspective. We can fill out these inventories without having to spend a lot of time worrying. Remember, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. The directions, timelines, requirements, and prayers are in the big book, pages 63 through 71 for step 4. The forms are based upon the directions that are in the big book. Use God, your sponsor, and the big book to complete the inventory process. It is quite simple to do. Just follow the directions. Answer the questions and do one column at a time. And there's a form there. The interesting thing is that the inventory process, the forms you've been provided with, and the whole deal in the big book, everything has already been figured out. We are not going to add anything to this process except action. It works precisely the way it is. The end result of this proven inventory process, you will have the analyzed truth about you. You will be armed with the facts, and you will have the components you need to complete the rest of the steps. Now let's read what the book tells us in the summary to the 4-step inventory. Go to page 70, line 23.
Page 70, line 23.
If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look at them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the path if we can. In this book, you read again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him, if you have already made a decision.
Which is step 3.
And an inventory of our grosser handicaps.
Which is step 4.
You have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself.
By writing this 4-step inventory, the things that have been blocking us are in the process of being removed. We're not going to take steps 4 and 5 in this class. We will, though, be taking a mock fourth step in next week's class. We suggest that over the next week, you examine these inventories and discuss them with your sponsor. Then take step four with your sponsor's guidance and the directions from the Big Book. Or come back next week and we will take an in-depth look at step four. That way you will be current with the class as we move on from the fourth and fifth steps. From those of you who are going to take steps four and five over the next few weeks for your benefit, let's look at step five before we get into the Big Book. Let's listen to Melissa read step five from the 1944 pamphlet.
Step number five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
Let's take a look at these 6 points. Point number one.
There is nothing new in this step. There are many sound reasons for talking over our troubles out loud with others.
Point number two.
The Catholic already has this medium already available to him in the confessional, but the Catholic is at a disadvantage if he thinks his familiarity with confession permits him to think his part of AA is thereby automatically taken care of. He must, in confession, seriously consider his problems in relation to his alcoholic thinking.
Point number three.
The non-Catholic has the way to open to work this step by going to his minister, his doctor, or his friend.
Point number four.
Under this step, it is not even necessary to go to a priest or a minister. Any understanding human being, friend, or stranger will serve the purpose.
Point number five.
The purpose and intent of this step is so plain and definite that it needs little explanation. The point is that we must do exactly what the fifth step says sooner or later. We must not be in a rush to get this step off of our chest. Consider it carefully and calmly, then get about it and do it.
Point number six.
Wrongs do not necessarily mean crime. It can well be wrong thinking, selfishness, false pride, egotism, or any one of 100 such negative faults. Go to page 72, line 29, and here we have a warning that says we may not overcome drinking if we skip this vital step.
Page 72, line 29, chapter 6, into action.
If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of their worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else their whole life story.
Go to page 74, line 2. Here are some options on who is to hear our story. Also a requirement that is a warning.
Page 74, line 2.
We think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step.
Skip a line.
Go to the properly appointed authority.
Next line.
Talk with someone ordained.
Skip 4 lines.
A closed mouth, understanding friend.
Same line.
Doctor or psychologist.
Next line.
One of our own family.
Skip 3 lines for a warning.
Such parts of our story we tell someone who will understand, yet be unaffected.
Same line, a major requirement.
The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others.
Next paragraph, skip 1 line, the timeline says.
It may be one so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, the step may be postponed.
Requirements.
Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity.
Skip a line, more requirements.
It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve at what we are driving at.
Go to page 75, line 3, for another timeline.
Page 75, line 3.
When we decided who is to hear our story, we waste no time.
Here we have some directions.
We have a written inventory, and we have prepared, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand.
Next paragraph, more directions.
We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past.
Let's explore the timeline requirements and directions for after we complete step 5. Skip to the last paragraph on this same page.
Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done.
Here we have the fifth step prayer.
We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better.
Let's continue studying the same line.
Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps, carefully reading the first 5 proposals.
Meaning to reread and study the book, pages XXIII or 23 to page 75, let's continue with the next line.
We ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Step 5 leaves us with spiritual principle of integrity. Let's review our progress so far by looking at the spiritual equations of step 1 through 5. Self-honesty, step 1, plus hope, step 2, plus faith, step 3, plus courage, step 4, equals integrity, step 5. In summary, the directions are very clear on why, when, and how to take step 5, as are the timelines and requirements. This is what happens as a result of taking step 5. The fifth step promises, same page, line 12.
Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look at the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We have made certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe.
This is the end of the second class. Next week's class will cover a mock 4th step and move on to steps 6, 7, 8, and 9. Homework for this class is read and discuss with your sponsors pages 44 through 75. If you have any questions, comments, or points of discussion, talk with your sponsor or see one of us after the meeting.